Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, and it is Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Let's give him a nice hand.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Peace and blessings to everyone that's on the show today. And I just want to say that this is our time where we can really come together in unity and beat a lot of the negative situations that are facing us and confronting us. And we can turn it all around and get rid of that terrible frown that we see on a lot of people's faces, whether they're out on the street begging for money, whether they're in a situation where they're in jail. There's a lot of different things that can be turned around. But the bottom line is we have to realize that we have the ability, and then we're going to be able to make some positive and wonderful change in our community. And that's what really counts, us knowing our true ability, our true identity, and what we can do. And this is something that has really been a great life changer for a lot of people. But once they realize their true identity, not just as being a human being in a physical body, but also on the other side of the table, knowing that they are true sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great and awesome and amazing things. And once we awaken to that truth instead of holding on to the lies that we've been told about how we don't really have any spiritual ability and that we are just prisoners of, you know, poverty and negative situations that we can't escape from. And that's not true. We can escape from many of these problems, but all we have to do is really start to see some positive change start coming through and recognize our ability to be able to bring that positive change about through God, through Christ. And if you're with Allah, through Allah, or if you're with Lord Jehovah, but the bottom line is whatever path you're on, you have to fill your mind with faith and knowing that your God-given power can be activated to do some positive things. But if you're just going to see yourself as a person that really can't achieve much and won't be able to actually bring anything about, then that's what is going to happen. So what we need to do is get rid of the fear and doubt, get rid of the lies that we have unfortunately consumed. Because most of these things I'm saying to you are things that we were taught from childhood, that we really don't have any spiritual power, that we really don't have any ability to make awesome and amazing changes in our lives, but we really do. And all we have to do is start coming out of that negative path of thinking and start to really go into a positive state of mind and then from there into a spiritual state of mind. Because once we start to do that, that's when great, awesome, and amazing things can come about. And I do want to share with you a situation that happened to me that was true proof that these are things that can really happen, because it shouldn't have happened on a regular, because this is type of situation that happened to so many people in the past. And that is when white racist police officers have attacked our people and even put handcuffs on them and said the reason why they shot and killed them was because they felt that they were about to reach out and, you know, shoot them or something. And how are you going to shoot somebody when you got handcuffs behind your back? You know, but these were things they were able to get away with. And because the system is so racist against us, the judge didn't even think about, well, this don't make no sense. And I know he's lying, but I'm just going to let him go anyway. And that's what the judge said. Let the police officer go. And a brother, you know, just shot with 3 or 4 bullets in his head or in his back or something, and he's killed, you know. But the bottom line is, even if you have black witnesses that are there, many times they won't even listen to them. You know, whatever the police officer says is what's real. But whatever the actual, you know, witnesses said, if it's 5, 10, or 3, or 4, it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is the police officer who shot that person, his word is what counts, not our word. And all these kind of crazy things are things that come about quite often in our community, and it's been happening in our community for a long time. And that's one of the reasons why I really do thank God, because I was in a situation where I had 4 racist police officers that were about to shoot and kill me. And it was really crazy because, you know, someone had just robbed a delicatessen, which was a few blocks away from the park that I was at on Baychester and 233rd. And that's like a 5-acre park. It got a little lake in it and all of that. But the bottom line was what was really surprising with that, I was just walking my dog in the park. And, you know, I saw another guy coming down the hill, and he was running down the hill with his dog. But, of course, you know, our 2 dogs looked at each other and started barking at each other and all of that, right? But the funny thing about it was, you know, he just had a real worried look on his face. And I was like, hey, how you doing? He wouldn't even say nothing. He was just, you know, trying to move his dog out the way. And then they ran off, you know. And I was like, wow, I wonder why he looked like he's so worried and everything. But anyway, the bottom line was after they took off, you know, about 3 or 5 minutes later, you know, those 4 white police officers showed up. And they said, hey, wait a minute. You right there. Don't take another step or we're going to shoot you. I said, what? I said, get out of here, man. You going to shoot me for walking my dog? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? Said, no, what happened just around the corner there, you know, out of the delicatessen, somebody robbed the delicatessen, and they had a dog with them. I said, who's going to rob a dog with a delicatessen with a dog? I said, get out of here, man. He said, no, this is real. And basically, you are the one that has a dog here, and we're trying to make sure if you are innocent, you're going to be able to have to show us that. And if you can't show us that, then you're going to jail. And I was like, what? I'm going to jail? What are you talking about? So anyway, he said, well, where have you been for the last half an hour? And luckily, it was a situation, you know, because I was walking through the park, and it was beautiful the way that they had trimmed the bushes, and they even had flowers in the park and everything, and it really looked nice. But then when I was walking through the park next to the playground where they had the kids, you know, the slides and, you know, the swings and all that stuff, and, you know, there were parents there with their kids and everything. And, you know, as I was walking past that, you know, I ran across, you know, a batch of mail that was stolen out of the projects right across the street. And I said, wow, this is crazy, man. Why did they, you know, do this? And then they had a bunch of it that was also ripped up. And that was the mail that they thought had either checks or cards in it, you know. So they wanted to steal their cards and their checks out of the mail and see if they could make some money off of that. Anyway, the bottom line was, so that ripped up mail was there, and then there was mail that, you know, didn't look like it had any text or anything, so they just left it, you know, thrown on the sideline. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. So anyway, what I ended up doing, I went into the playground where they had a garbage can, and I took a plastic bag out of there, and I went back to where they had all this batch of mail that was ripped up and, you know, the solid mail, but it was all just a pile of it. And it just looked really made, you know, the park, and, you know, it really looked bad. You know, it looked like a city dump, you know. So I said, you know what, let me put this stuff in this plastic bag. So that's what I did. I took all the ripped up mail, and I put it in a plastic bag, and I threw it back into the garbage can. And the mail that was not ripped, you know, I put that under my arm, and I was planning to, you know, just put that into a mailbox, you know, just outside of the park there. So anyway, what ended up happening, I told them that's what the situation was, and I said, if you guys want to, you know, see for sure whether I was there doing that or not, and there's, you know, parents that are still up there with their kids and stuff, you could ask them where was I there for the last half hour. And then the sergeant said, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go there and do that. I said, why not? You said you wanted proof. I mean, why can't we go up there? He said, no. And then one of them said, Sarge, you know, we're down in the valley part of this park, and there's nobody down here but us. No witnesses or anything. We could kill this nigga and get away with it. I said, what? Kill me and get away with it? What are you talking about? I didn't rob nothing. I ain't threatening you guys. What are you talking about? And he said, wow, that's interesting. And then the other one said, yeah, Sarge, and I got my ankle gun on me. So after we shoot and kill him, we could say, you know, to you know, the judge and everything, that basically he shot at us first, and then we returned the fire, and we had to kill him. So, hey, that's how we can get away with this with no problem, because we don't even have any witnesses down here. And I said, what? Are you guys, what? You know, I couldn't even believe that they were doing that, you know, because, I mean, I didn't even do anything, and I had proof that it wasn't me that robbed the delicatessen, but they were saying, no, we're going to have fun killing this nigga, so let's just get rid of him, you know. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. So anyway, the sergeant said to the other three, said, listen, this is what we're going to do. Let's go into a little huddle here, and we're going to discuss this amongst each other. And then when we come out, we'll deal with that. And I was like, wow. So when they did that and they got into the little huddle, you know, the first thought was, man, you better run for it, you know. And then I said, nah. I said, I know I'll probably get about 5 or 6 steps away, and they're going to pull out their guns and put about 10 or 20 bullets in my back. So, no, that don't even make no sense. I said, what I need to do is ask God to please give me a blessing and allow this situation to be turned around. Because I said, you know, Lord, if you could please spare me a blessing, I would truly, truly appreciate it. And, you know, if not, I guess I will see you shortly, because I will be out of this body. And I know this body's going to have at least about 10 or 20 bullets in it. So, you know, it's up to you, Lord, but I'm just praying that you will, you know, allow me to have a blessing where I won't have to worry about, you know, these knuckleheads getting ready to kill me, you know. And basically, you know, after I said that, they came out of their huddle. And after they came out of their huddle, One of them said to me, smart nigger, it's your time to go. Your time to go. And I was like, what? And they all raised their guns up to me, and they were getting ready to pull the trigger. And I said, Lord, please spare me that miracle. If you could spare me that miracle, I would appreciate it. And right after I said that, that's when two black police officers ran down the hill. And they said, Sarge, Sarge, is this the guy that robbed the delicatessen? Is this him? And I said, no, I didn't rob no delicatessen, but these guys are getting ready to kill me for no reason. He said, Sarge, you're getting ready to kill him for no reason? And the sergeant said, no, no, we're not going to do that. We were just getting ready to pat him down, and we were going to check and see if he had stolen money or if he had any, guns or if he had any, drugs or anything like that on him. And if he didn't have that, we were going to let him go. I said, no, they weren't. They were just telling me that they were going to kill me and shoot me, you know. So, and he's talking about an ankle gun and all kind of crazy stuff, man. They were going to get me and kill me. He said, Sarge, were you getting ready to kill him? And he said, no. He said, you better shut up. I'm telling you now, you better shut up. And if you say another word, you're going to be in trouble. I said, what? He said, you shut up, I told you. And he raised his gun up at me, and the rest of them put their guns down because the two black police officers were there. And but he just had a real angry look on his face, the sergeant, like he was going to shoot me. He didn't care if the black police officers were there or not. He was that angry at me. And I said, you know what? I better shut up. And when I said that, that's when one of them came over to me and patted me down to see if I had any guns on me, any stolen pack of money on me, if I had any, you know, drugs or anything crazy like that. And when they didn't see nothing like that, they said, okay, we're going to let you go. And then when they let me go, I went over to one of the black police officers, and I said, hey, brother, you know what? If God didn't send you when he did on the exact timing, I mean, you came right in the nick of time, brother. Let me tell you, if God didn't send you at that time, I would have definitely been killed. There ain't no question about it, man. These guys were talking about how they were going to shoot and kill me and everything, man. And I'm just glad that you showed up when you did with the other brothers. And he said, no, brother, I believe you, man. I really do believe you. And I was like, wow. But the thing about that was really interesting, too, was I was glad to see that the Lord did have mercy on me and allowed me to live behind a situation where so many of our people get murdered and killed with these white racist police officers, you know. And sometimes even if a black, you know, police officer is there, you know, they may also still pull the trigger anyway. But the bottom line is, you know, a black police officer has a lot more credibility, you know, in the courtroom than, you know, just a regular, you know, black, you know, person does. And being that those two black police officers were there, you know, they would have to testify, you know, and if they testified against them, the two black police officers, that would have caused, you know, a big problem for them. So anyway, the bottom line was I was just very glad that I didn't have to deal with that. But shortly thereafter, and because I was saying to myself, wow, I wonder if there was a special reason why the Lord had saved my life. And, you know, a year afterwards, that's when we got started with a program called Parents Against Teen Violence, where we were able to actually save the lives of hundreds of kids. Because, you know, when we ended the gang war, you know, there were 18 you know, kids that were being killed in the course of a year. And two of those years were the years that, you know, were the first 2 years that we started. And in the third year, there was no more murdering or killing at all. And that was very powerful that that happened like that. So that was something that showed me that the Lord had, you know, a mission and a plan that was already regulated out for me. And the only thing was I just needed to fulfill that plan by actually doing the work that I came here to do. And I was really glad that, you know, the Lord actually allowed me to be able to come together and, you know, really do something positive to help my people. And that was really a great blessing. And I was very, very happy that I could, you know, get together and do something like that. So what I'm saying with that And the beautiful thing about that is that, you know, we all have a mission with God. The question is, do we know what it is? And many of us don't, just like I wasn't really sure. But the bottom line was, when that came about, that I was told that that would be what I would be doing, that was really great. And I was very thankful, because I know through the blessing and the mercy of God, He can save our lives, and He can change our lives, and He can help us to change and be a blessing to other people's lives as well. And that's one of the things that's very important, that we know that God has the ability, even though racist police officers are pointing their guns in your face and getting ready to pull the trigger on you, that God has the last word. They don't have the last word. And them were getting ready to start giggling and laughing after they shot and killed me. But God said, no, I'm not going to allow you to kill him. You know, he has my mission to fulfill, and he's going to fulfill it. And I was glad that that was the case, because I was really happy to see that we were able to save the lives of many youth. But the other side of this that was very important as well was that we needed to really get a clear understanding that we as Black people do have the power and the ability to do some great, awesome, and amazing things, you know, to help ourselves and to help our people. But the big problem, once again, is that we've been told that we can't do it, and that, you know, these are things that, you know, we would just never be really ever be able to accomplish, you know, to try to do things from a spiritual perspective. But that's not true. We do have the power to do it, and we do have the ability to do it. All we have to do is to really start to realize that that ability and God-given power is within us. And once we start to awaken to that, it's going to be a situation where we come together in unity, and then we're going to be able to change a lot of negative things in our community. And that's not a maybe, an if, or a might. Because when you got, you know, like 40% of the kids that are in these gangs that have refused to leave the gang because they want to make money, they think they're the little Black mafia and they could just keep going out there killing each other and, you know, forcing other gangs to sell drugs for them and all kind of crazy stuff like that. And even though that's, the, you know, where their minds and heads are stuck into, that satanic negativity, the bottom line was, you know, we were able to change that through the spiritual formula of what Christ gave us. And being that Jesus did give us that formula, that was a great, awesome, and amazing thing. And I was really, really glad to see that this was something that was available for us to, you know, utilize. And it's still available for us to utilize. And as Jesus said, that's supposed to be one of the most powerful forces in the universe. And that is God's divine love and Christ's divine love. And visualizing and seeing that in the minds and hearts of negative situations and people, we can really turn those situations around, whether it be racist police officers, whether it be our youth that want to kill each other and have made up their minds that I don't care whether you give me a lecture for 5 minutes or 2 or 3 hours, I still ain't listening to a word you got to say. If I got to kill another 10 or 20 kids, that's what I'm going to do. The bottom line, I'm here to make as much money off of these crazy kids that I'm going to be able to stomp on than anything else. And my focus is being able to say I got the biggest and baddest gang and that I'm going to be able to make a ton of money. And when they are stuck in that mindset that these are things that they want to do, then when you have power and ability to use a spiritual formula like what Christ gave us, that is very powerful, and it's very, you know, wonderful that we were awakened to that fact. And the big thing and beautiful thing about it is we use that form, spiritual formula, and when we used it, it actually worked. It ended the gang wars. And we didn't have gang wars in the school system again for about 10 or 12 years. And being that that was the case, that was great. And the only reason why that came back to us, the gang wars, was because we still did not have any community centers or anything like that out in our community to really take these kids off the street and bring them into positive programs to help to point them in the right direction on how they could live their lives in a positive way and be happy campers that would be like, yeah, man, I'm glad I'm making this kind of money. I ain't killing nobody. I ain't selling no drugs. I ain't doing nothing illegal. This is all positive. And yeah, this is really great. I'm really glad I'm doing this. You know, and this is something that we could offer our kids. But the problem is you need the capital to be able to do it. And that's where we as a people need to unite as well financially. Because one thing that's very important is us coming together in spiritual unity. And unfortunately, mean to insult anybody by saying this, but if you're a doubting Thomas or a doubting Thomasina and just saying, man, this is a bunch of BS, I don't believe he even did that. And I mean, I understand, because I mean, you don't see this kind of stuff happening every day, that people utilize spirituality to stop a lot of negative things that could occur in a person's life or that's occurring in your community. And you don't see that kind of stuff stopping it on a regular basis. And being that you don't see that, you know, Master Charlie has told us that the reason why you can't see it is because these are things we can never do. But that's a lie. And that's a lie that he wants you to believe and that he wants you to cling on to. But the reality is that the wonderful thing about it, which gave credibility to what I'm talking about, is that we actually had, you know, senators, congressmen, mayors, county legislators. We had superintendents of schools. We had principals of schools that wrote me awards and letters thanking me for helping to save the lives of these kids and, you know, turning their lives around into a positive direction and getting them out of these zones. And I would have never gotten those type of letters, those type of awards that were given to me, because I got awards in Harlem, I got awards in Mount Vernon, I got awards in Yonkers. You know, these were awards that were given to me. You know, in Harlem I got a little statue and I still got it. I got a little statue with my name on it and everything. And hey, these were things that were given proof to show that I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. That through the power of spirituality, we were able to end the gang war. And like I said, about 60-65% of the youth we were able to pull out through giving them lectures on a regular basis. Once a month we would go into different schools and talk to them about how they need to come out of these gangs and stop killing each other and all kind of stuff. And we had some very dynamic speakers. We would even have the mayor of Mount Vernon, and we would have different congressmen and senators. They would come and speak at different times to the kids. So it was not just myself doing it. We had 150 speakers, and some of them were from California, were from Chicago. They were from, you know, Philly and, you know, New Jersey. You know, we even had some from Atlanta. It was really great that we were able to reach out and get youth activists, and some of them were even ex-gangbangers themselves that were in gangs, you know, when they were teenagers, but now they are adults and they're no longer in the gangs, but they were willing to go and speak to the gangs, tell them not to do any more, you know, time in the gangs. Because number one, you don't know whether next week or the week after, you know, one of the gangs is going to attack your gang and kill you and a number of people in the gang, or they might just end up killing some of your best friends in the gang. So between you and your best friends, you need to pull them out the gang now and really start to see, you know, something from a positive perspective on how you could live your life. Because, you know, a lot of those guys, they lost their friends, they lost their girlfriends, they lost their children, you know, and because they, you know, were stuck in, you know, wanting to stay in those gangs, they couldn't see themselves coming out. But then when the other gangs attacked them, that's when they were in a situation where they ended up losing, you know, their, you know, fiance or their girlfriend, or could even be their wife. But the bottom line is they got killed. And these were things that broke their hearts into a million pieces. And then some of their best friends from high school and junior high school, you know, they went to school with, you know, they saw them dead on the ground too. And that was heartbreaking as well, because he is one of your best friends and he's dead on the ground. So these are things that, you know, we had speakers that shared with them. I already experienced this. I was a serious knucklehead and I got caught up in this. And, you know, I lost my girlfriend. I lost, because she was pregnant with my child, I lost my firstborn child that would have been coming through. I also lost, you know, several of my best friends that were in the gang with me, and they got gunned down and killed. So this was ridiculous, man, but y'all don't need to deal with this. I'm here to tell you now, don't continue with this, because if you do, you're going to really wish you never did, and your heart's going to be broken into a million pieces. And I remember hearing those brothers say that, and the funny thing about it was at the end of their speech, they were even crying because they reminded them about how their girlfriend was killed, how their firstborn son or daughter, you know, didn't even have a chance to be born because their girlfriend was shot down and killed, and how so many of their best friends were killed in their gang as well. So all I could say, again, we need to really put together, you know, community centers and other types of programs that could really be positive learning situations for our kids. And another thing, too, which is a little more money, but it's a good project to have, and that is that we need to have our own elementary schools, our own junior high schools, our own high schools. And this way we could actually even teach our kids our history, because the only history is being taught to us is that the best thing we ever did was be slaves for white people. And that's a lie, you know? And we're being taught that, you know, white people are better than our people. And that's another lie, you know? Because when you really look at it, white people are praying to a black Jesus, but they don't want to tell you that. Because if they tell you that, they would be embarrassed because they've been telling you for years that you guys are inferior to them. So wait a minute. How could I be inferior to you and you're on bended knees, you know, with tears in your eyes, you know, praying to Jesus, you know, and thanking him for something he did or asking him to please bless your situation that you're in right now? And basically, you're asking all of this from Jesus, and he's a black man. And you telling me that I'm inferior to you? Why would you be praying to a black Jesus? And the reason why they never wanted to be caught in that situation was because they wanted to make sure that you were praying to a white Jesus, which would make you feel more inferior to seeing yourself praying to a white Jesus. And the reason why the blackness or the whiteness is important was because the truth shall set you free. And it even says that in the Bible, that the truth will set you free. And that's true. And Satan's lies will encompass you to be caught up into the slavery of negativity. And when you actually see a white Jesus and you're in a racist society that's telling you that you're inferior, that you're, you know, incapable, that you're spiritually powerless and all this kind of crazy stuff, it's easier for you to believe that when you see a white Jesus instead of a black Jesus. Because when you see a black Jesus, what that's telling you, that's like, hey, Jesus had all this power and everything, and he was black, so, hey, why can't I have that power? And that's something that's really powerful, because the truth sets you free to see the truth. But the lie is something that holds you back from ever seeing the truth, because you're told that Jesus was white, and that proves once again that you're inferior, that you're limited, that you're incapable, that only white people are superior. And that's not true. That is not true. But anyway, these are things that we need to know once we start to really take a serious look at the truth of what is going on in our lives and how the Lord has really blessed us to actually run across some great, awesome, and amazing blessings that we can utilize to, you know, really change our lives. But how can we believe any of this if we're in a situation where we can't actually believe that Jesus was black, that we have spiritual power within us, where we can manifest wealth, where we can manifest, you know, opportunities, where we can be a mind changer and change the minds of youth that, you know, want to kill each other and destroy each other's lives? We can do these things, but the bottom line is you're being told that this is something you could never do. Anyway, what I would like to do at this time is, you know, see if those that are on the line do have any, you know, feedback on what was just being said. Because the bottom line with this is that this is our time to come together in spiritual unity, to be a blessing to our community. But we have to know that we have the ability to really change the lives of ourselves and the lives of others in the positive. We can even strip away those who have are stuck in negative thinking and bring them into positive thinking. And that is something that even myself, I didn't even know was capable of being done until I saw it myself. So anyway, if any of you that are on the line at this time would like to comment on some of the things that we've spoken about, and I do have one speaker, Sister Ann, and she's on the line there.
We have
she has something
the man himself.
We
have the man himself, Pastor Don Dunn, the CEO of 300 Winning Team Members. Give him a nice hand and welcome him.
Yes, sir. Pastor, do you have anything you'd like to share with us at this point? Hello, hello. Are you still on the line with us? Just put your phone on.
Take the phone off. 352-352-363. Your mic is open.
352-363. Okay.
Okay.
Dr.
Arm.
Would you like to share some feedback on what we were just discussing so far? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Look like he got cut off there, brother.
Okay, so
Dr.
We got 352-363. Okay, your mic is muted or something.
Yeah, I was on mute. I do apologize. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don, Jr., CEO. I have a very special treat. This is my daughter, Empress Love. She's going to make her first radio debut. Say hi, Empress Love. Tell me who you are.
Hi, my name is Empress Love.
Yeah, me and my daughter on the radio, we've been listening to the positivity and the spiritual unity. We've been getting a lot of good meat. I definitely been texting out hundreds of people and telling everybody about the show. And I just support the whole movement. The Neo Project, Neo Network, Dr. Ron Robinson, Dr. James W. Winborn, all y'all are my family. So we out here in Mesa, Arizona, calling to you live.
Oh, okay. Yes, indeed. So what did you think about what was said, my brother?
I think it's very powerful, and I think together we can bring forth change. We have to be proactive. We have to communicate, let people know how to help, and not only that, bring resources where there are none. And that's what we're doing here at the Winning Team. That's why we're on all these radio shows, because you don't know who you're going to meet, when you're going to meet them, but everybody is important one step at a time. And with that being said, Empress Love, what do you have to say?
Yes.
Amen. I got my daughter right here with me. She's getting this radio game. So, like I said, man, I'm a big, real big supporter of the Neo Project and all the things y'all doing.
All right. Well, great, my brother. And that was a powerful yes, she said, though. That was great.
Five 30.
And we have 929-431. 929-431. You're on.
Now, bro,
yeah,
take your phone off and mute.
Hello?
Yeah,
how you doing, Brother Benjamin, Brother Ron Robinson? How's everybody tonight?
Okay, you need to talk a little closer to the phone because your voice sounds real mute.
God bless. How are you?
Okay, that sounds good. Yes, yeah, giving thanks,
okay.
Man.
You can hear me.
Yeah,
right.
I can hear you now.
Amen. Yeah, I'm enjoying the energy everybody is coming on the show with. I just wanted to, I've been studying with a sister of mine. You know, we're engaged potentially to be married soon today. I'm on the 13th. Amen to that, to, you know, to bring us closer to God. And,
all right, congratulations, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you. The sister's name is Jennifer. We've been studying pretty deep on our word. And we just wanted to share something with you. I just wanted to share something that actually was coming to my mind in regards to the word while I was listening to the radio show. And I feel like God is confirming something to me. But in studying the absolutes and beauty of our Creator, it's stated in the Bible that the Creator is He who is and who was and who is to come, that the Creator is beyond space and time itself. So the Creator is in the past, the present, and the future at the same time. So when the Creator tells us about His victory and tells us about the coming of the end and the victory that we will receive, He's already there. And that means we already won. And that means we need to fight in fulfilling that prophecy or fulfilling what is to come. And that should give us a level of confidence and a boost in the fight against the devil and in the fight when it comes to salvation, because salvation is ours. And the Creator has told us from a place that is beyond our time itself that we will win. And the only one who can make that type of statement is the Creator, who's already there. He's already there. We won. So it's like our energy and our positivity needs to be driven on that. It's like running headlong to a moment that you already know is yours, and you just got to obtain it and grab it and say, and like lay claim. That's the conviction. This is mine, and I lay claim on it. Like that wholehearted devotion and obtaining should give us some level of peace. And I just wanted to share that with everybody that God in His infinity and being beyond infinite itself, He got us. And that if you can hold on to that and keep putting that positivity out into the universe and let it transfer into your life, it will give you victory over any situation that you're facing, because that's what our Creator promised us. So amen to everybody listening in on this message. I hope it was able to impart to someone. And may God bless us all in our endeavors. Amen.
Amen, my brother. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have 803-729-729. Your mic is open. Okay, we're going to 332-799. 332-799. Your mic is open.
Okay, my brother, can you hear it? Make sure your phone's off of mute.
332-799, your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself. Okay.
I just heard somebody say something there.
803-809-729, your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself and talking to the phone loudly. Okay. We have 347-788. Your mic is open. You're on with Dr. Ben.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on? All is well. I missed what I was talking about. Where were y'all? What was y'all talking about?
Oh, so you just came on?
Yeah, just now, yeah. I just came on just now.
Well, we were talking about spiritual unity. We were talking about, you know, awakening to our God-given ability. We were talking about the fact that the truth will set you free so that you can really be empowered to do great and wonderful things. But that's where you need to know your history, and you even need to know the truth about Jesus, and that he was a black man. He was not a white man, but, you know, because we live in a racist society, that's one of the things that was taught to us, that he was white. But the reality is, how can I keep you in a feeling that you're inferior to me if I'm on bended knee with tears in my eyes praying to Jesus and he's a black man? And you're going to say, what? You praying to a black man and you telling me that I'm inferior to you? You got to be kidding me. And that's the thing. They don't. That would be a very awkward situation for them to be in, for them to show themselves trained to a black man, and they don't want you to know that. Now, the funny thing about that, the Pope...
And I'm calling you when I get off the radio show.
What? Oh, you getting ready to get off the house? Oh, okay.
I'm listening.
Yeah, because you're the next person I was going to, you know, bring this up to, you know, because both of you guys are on at the same time. But anyway, so these are just some things that we were talking about. And I also shared a situation or incident that happened to me, but it was a great miracle as well, because I had four racist police officers that were about to kill me. And I asked God for a miracle to save my life, and he allowed that miracle to manifest. And two black police officers came running down the hill just before these guys got ready to shoot me. And I was really glad on that, too. But it just goes to show you that God can definitely be about saving our lives and being a blessing to us. But the problem is, again, we've been lied to and told that, you know, you're wasting your time if you're praying to God, if you're praying to Jesus or Allah or anybody. They ain't going to save you or help you. That's a waste of time, man. Don't even
that's
waste
a waste of
time.
And
that's just Satan's life, you know. But go ahead.
Yeah,
brother.
Try to deceive us. I always got something to say. I was actually having a conversation a few minutes ago when I went into the store, and, you know, I said this with my wife. I was talking to an Arab guy. He was telling me that he said that Islam is the only religion, right? And it's the perfect religion, and that's the religion that the Most High has chosen for all men to follow. And I said if Islam was the religion that all men are supposed to follow, and this religion is righteous, then those that practice Islam from the different cultures will also embrace us in their cultures, right? They will they will laugh within the street. They will know our sons and our daughters. They will kiss and hug us in the land and bless us, and they will also do business with us. Right? I said, this is not taking place. Right? I said, so the fact of the matter, you may say that you come from a righteous, you know what I'm saying, oracle, but not perform righteousness in the land. So it's just like what Christ said. Christ said this. Christ said, how could you love he that you do not see, but hate he that you see? Right? So if we're saying, that the Most High, that we love the Most High, and we don't never, none of us ever seen the Most High physically, right? Even Moses in the Bible wasn't able to see the Most High physically. The Most High said, if you was able to see me physically, you would die, right? So I'm only going to show you my back, right?
Yeah.
And the Most High showed Moses' back, and Moses transformed. His hair turned white, and everything in that nature. Right, just by seeing the back of the Most High, he didn't see the front of the Most High. Most High said, "You can't even take the front sight of me. If I showed you who I really was, you would die because your spirit cannot take my full presence." right?
Nope.
So we are not able to see the full entity of the Most High. Those of us that are spiritual know the Most High exists, but we cannot see the true spiritual entity of the Most High in this being right here that we're in, because it's not crafted for that type of interaction, right?
Yes.
So if we're praying to a power that we do not see, and we say that we love that power, that we're going to embrace that power, we're going to embrace the law, statute, commandments that that power has set down, then how do we turn around and hate our own flesh and blood that's in the land? Regardless of what entity you want to call them, they are all still flesh and blood that is created through the land, through the Most High, right? So for entities that come into the land and take on religious doctrines and take on religious philosophies and principles and not apply those same principles, philosophies, and doctrines on a universal scale, show that they do not believe in the Most High.
Right.
So the analogy I use to the man is this. We're all in the field with an apple tree, right? And the apple is there. Does the apple say, when a black man comes to grab an apple off the branch, does the branch pull back to make sure that the black man doesn't grab the apple? Does the branch pull back to make sure the Arab man doesn't pull the apple, or the Indian man don't pull the apple, or the Hispanic man don't pull the apple? No, the apple tree allows everyone to pull from the apple, right? Because the apple tree is here for all humanity. Even my wife pointed out to me, I would look at it, she said, yeah, but even the insects and the animals also eat of the apple, right? So the apple is here for all humanity, right? Our Lord, you know what I'm saying, our power, you know what I'm saying, Christ, the Most High, right, has created all humanity to do what? To increase. We're not here to decrease. We're here to increase. So the societies or the religions that do not allow us to increase, they are actually internally decreasing themselves. We are a powerful unit to move forward. This is what we're here for. We're here to make changes in the land. We're here to implement righteous oracles and principles in the land. And we're here to bring forth life in a better way than it was before we came into existence. Are we coming to the world and bring forth death and bring forth destruction, that we have actually forsaken our nature and our creator? This radio show, I love this radio show because we speak about increasing one another.
Amen.
The love of one another, and how do we actually supposed to improve one another? Just like I said the other day, if I don't know you here spiritually, how will I know you spiritually on another plane? How would I recognize who you are if I didn't know you here spiritually and I didn't help you increase here spiritually and I didn't love you with my whole heart, my spirit, and my soul, right?
Amen.
How would I love you on another plane? It doesn't make any sense. Mathematics doesn't lie. Science doesn't lie, right? What I plant into the field, it will grow regardless of what it is that has been planted. If I planted evil, evil will grow. If I planted righteousness, righteousness will grow. So as a nation of people, we have to be careful of what it is that we are planting in the field to grow. Because whatever we plant, it will come back and find us 100-fold. There's a scripture that says this: do not do unrighteousness in the land, because you will have to pay for that unrighteousness 7-fold. So what man or woman that would do unrighteousness in the land that want to be paid back 7-fold? None of us. We do not want to be paid back 7-fold for the wickedness that we may put into the land, for the harm that we have put into the land. We don't want to be paid back 7-fold for that. Right, so it's about planting righteous seeds. This is why this radio show is important. This is why I come on this radio show, is because I have seeds to plant, and I also want seeds planted within me. Right? I'm not perfect. I don't know it all. Right? But I also know that it's others that have gifts for me the same way I have gifts for them. This is what I'm here for. Right?
Amen.
So I speak about my $10 programs that will make people successful, not just in money, but also in the wealth of the mind. It's
yep.
not about money. People think everything
Nuh-uh.
Is about money. It's not
it's
about
not.
Money. It's about the wealth
about
of
souls.
The mind. Right? It's about you knowing that if I apply myself to this, this can happen for me. Right? It's about you saying, like I read a book about a guy, he said when he goes into a restaurant, he tips the waiter as if he was rich. Right? And his family would say, why would you tip the waiters as if you're rich and you're a poor man? He said, because I'm rich in spirit and I know that one day I shall become rich because I practice the ways that a rich man is supposed to practice. And eventually, he did become rich. Right? We have to set righteous, basic structures in our lives that's going to allow us to be rich, not only in money, but also in spirit and also according to our purpose. So I move a program that's $10. I move a program that's $15. Why? Because we're in an economic crisis, right? So take your $10 and invest it. Take your $15 and invest it. Take your $100 to $200 and invest it. Why? So when the economic crisis hit, you'll say, you know, I got four projects I'm working on, right? And I invested little to $300 in these platforms, and these platforms are able to generate millions of dollars for me if I apply them. The Most High says, in a time of wealth, set up your wealth in six, even seven places, because you know not which way the wind will blow, right? He's telling us to be prepared for the storm. Right now, Florida is going through havoc right now. People are losing their lives. They done lost their property. They done lost their land, right? They done lost their money. They done lost all their little projects that they have hidden under the footboard, right? All those things are gone, right? And if those people in Florida did not set their wealth in six, even seven places, they're going to start living poor lives after this storm is over. We got to see these storms for what these storms are. These storms are telling us that you think you're prepared, you're not prepared for everything that the world has in store for you. We're not prepared for all the things that life has in store for us. So we have to set things in place to make sure that we safeguard each other. And with our brotherhood of our nation and with our sisterhood of our nation, we are in trouble. That means that we're not stored by riches in the right places. If I don't go and protect Sister Carol when I'm in a prosperous state, and Sister Carol falls, I'm as poor as she is. If I don't go and save Reverend Ron or Dr. Binyam when I'm in a position to save them, when they fall, I am partly responsible for that fall. When you go into the book of Ezekiel says this: if you see a man in doing unrighteousness and you do not tell that man that he's doing unrighteousness, to make him turn from his unrighteous ways, when he dies, his blood shall be on your hands. But if you tell that man that he's doing unrighteousness and he continues to do unrighteousness, when he dies, you will be free from that blood of unrighteousness. This is coming from our Lord. He's telling us how to protect ourselves on the land and what we need to do to survive in the land. We are here and we are responsible, and I say it all the time, for the protection of one another. If you're a millionaire and I'm a poor man, you need to teach me how to become a millionaire. You do not keep me as a poor man. You do not take your wealth and hide it in a cubbyhole so a storm could come through and blow it away, and then you say, if my money did not get blown away, I would have helped you. Right? These are things that we do not do against each other because we say in our spirit that we love each other. We say in our spirit that we are supposed to unify and increase each other. How do you increase each other without currency? How do you increase each other without breathing life into one another? How do you increase each other without instilling hope and faith inside of one another? How do you do it? Do you wish upon a star? Right? Even in the book of Paul, in the book of Peter, it says this. It says, if you see a man naked and you have the means to help him, do not go to him and say, I pray for you to have clothing and walk away. He says, go buy that man clothing and get that man clothing so he shall no longer be naked in thy sight. So faith without works is dead. We have to do the work, and we have to also believe in the faith of the work that we do that will bring forth changes within the lives of one another. If we do not apply these things to the lives of one another, then we have lost the faith that we say we have and the Creator that we say that we love, right? Because the Creator does things on purpose. The sun is here on purpose. The moon is here on purpose. The stars are here on purpose. The oxygen that we breathe is here on purpose. The air that cools us in the summertime is here on purpose. All these things are on purpose. The creation of a seed that we don't even know how to create is also on purpose. The healing cells that we have within our bodies, these things are on purpose. None of these things are a mistake. None of these things are a mishap. All these things are here as a direct consequence for the development and the elevation of who we are according to humanity. The same way that we seek for the Most High to create us and love us is the same way we must increase and love one another.
That's true, my brother. We do need to reach out to try to help each other, show love and respect to one another so that we can definitely come together in unity and utilize that spiritual power that we have together to make some wonderful and great things come about. Well, my brother, we do have Sister Ann who is on the line here, too, that didn't get a chance to speak yet. So we're going to give her opportunity as well. But I do appreciate, you know, what you shared with us. It was very positive, very powerful. And let's keep our minds up on high and know that our goals and dreams are going to start to fly, brother. Definitely.
That's right.
So, Sister Ann, you know, let me allow you to give some feedback on some of the things that we have spoken on as well, and you can share with us your scenario on how you feel about this as well.
I agree with everything y'all said, and it's so true. You know, we all need to come together, you know, and with the gangs and stuff, I can speak on that because I used to be one. And God came in my life and changed me. And when he changed me, he changed the other women that used to run with the gang. And, you know, it's time for the men to get the young people in the wings. You know, take them up. You know, make, just like the man of God said, we got to make boys club. We got to do things for these children, you know, because they're our future. And he said, how could you love me? How could you love God, who you never seen before, and hate your brother and sister that you see every day and you don't speak to them? God said, no. He said, love and kindness that I draw thee. You know, we need to help one another. You see a homeless on the street, you don't talk about him. You help him. You know, we here to help. We here to serve. That's what God calls us. We are servants. We serve one another. You know, like a older person. Go knock on some of these old people houses and see. Say, do you need help? Do you need a grass cut? God said, we're here to serve. And what the man of God said, I used to be blind about, you know, when I was going to a church when I was coming up, they used to tell us to pray to a white Jesus. But when I started praying and seeking God, and asking God for answers, God showed me that Jesus is black. That's why the white people is trying to destroy us, because we are the strongest race. God loves us in spite of. If we come together, we are the strongest race. We could run them, but people don't want to come together. It's too much jealousy, too much envy, too much talking about each other. Love your enemy. He even said, pray for them, the ones that spitefully use you, that talk about you. He said, love them. When Judas betrayed Jesus still forgave Judas, and he kissed them. Why we can't do that? Why we can't love like Jesus loved? Or why we can't love like God loves us? Too jealous. Well, I thank God for this man of God. How he got wars and stuff. How the police, how the police do our black brothers. I'm praying for these brothers. Praying for these racist cops that God will speak to them. My son is in jail right now for something he didn't do because of a racist cop. But I still pray for that cop. He knows not what he did, but God will have it. So I just thank God for that. That's all I got to say.
Well, thank you, okay, my sister.
Okay, we have
very well said.
Shot for,
I do appreciate it.
These private calls, 111-111. If you want to say something, nobody knows who you are anyway. 111-111-111-111. You can open up your mic, unmute yourself, and even say hello. Okay, we're going to go to 332-799. 332-799, your mic is open. You're on with Dr. Ben. Okay, we're going to go to the Enigma herself.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody doing? I've heard everybody speaking about all the injustice and how we need to come together and, you know, start loving our enemies.
Amen.
And, you know, some you have to work around them and try to get the solution. There's no hate. It's just the fact that some people have to learn to defend and stand up for what's right and know what's right. Some people choose to not be responsible for their actions, and this government, our government is not being responsible for their actions. You can't promise that you're going to put police in every station and they're going to be in the subways and, you know, have the people give falsehood, and then all of a sudden now crime is up and the whole nine yards is right back to where it started. We, you can't give programs where you want them to train for community leader and, you know, community projects and this, that, and the other, and yet you still not communicating with the community. And each state, just like in slavery, has changed their own rules and regulations according to arrest. I've seen Pennsylvania that people's cars have been stopped for no reason. They're being arrested for, you know, just for their light being out, or, you know, they want, you know, unnecessary ID just for being parked in the street. I mean, this is coming back, and it's coming back very different, because each state that's Republican is doing their thing their way. As you notice, we have a lot of immigrants being transferred from down south to upstate. them through buses, and they was being dropped off in Washington at first. I guess New York thought they bypassed them, but they didn't. And people who thought that they, you know, one man said in the meeting, the government seemed to forget that they work for us. We don't work for them. The government don't have to explain anything to you anymore. You seem to have forgotten who climbed that White House when they was in office, and that was Trump. And there's a war going on. It's called the North and the South. It's a new civil war. And if y'all haven't woken up to it, wake up now. Black people are more racist than they were when there was ropes. And there's different groups of racism. So coming together, you need to know who your neighbor is. You need to know who your community leaders are. You need to know who your landlord is. You need to know how much your rent is going up. You need to know these things. This is not something that just started. People got comfortable in the system that wasn't for you in the first place, and now they're rearranging the system because now the disease war is here. When I stated before there was going to be a germ warfare, it went in your ear and out the next one because you have so much to be concerned about. Well, this is a concern. Cancer is flowing more so now than it's ever. How do you think that's happening? Is it happening through your water, through your food, through your medicine? Are you trying to find out? Well, this is a way of us coming together to find out, are we being poisoned? Find out how these diseases are coming in. We used to find out who's giving support to all these programs. You used to know if someone was supporting, you know, the left ring, the left-right ring, and you knew who was supporting the KKK. So why don't you know these things again? What's stopping you from knowing who's supporting the KKK? That you got several right ring groups who are supportive and they're stronger than the KKK and they're united. So how many groups do we have that's united? How many groups do we have that's growing anything? Because right about now they're making bids on who's doing the new contracts and rebuilding these buildings in Florida. Who do we have in our network that does construction that can put, we can push up there so they can put their foot in there? Because, see, they don't think on an emotional level. They never did. But you still emotional. They feeding your kids guns so they could kill each other. You still got the Bloods and the Crips. There is no head because the tails are gone. Nicky Barnes, Lucas, all that killing grew into little miniature groups. There's no head. They're little miniature groups that y'all have no relationship with, none whatsoever. Even old hip-hop can't relate to the new hip-hop. There's no relations between blacks because they still stuck in slavery. I am not. And I refuse to be down with the rest of all this other nonsense. I will defend myself by any means necessary. I'm not going to eat everything that y'all want me to eat. I don't have McDonald's and all of them in my repertoire because my money is of the importance. The brother was talking about knowing how to save your money. You better start investing in silver and gold. The dollar don't mean anything anymore. Bitcoin has been broken into so many times that they're robbing people by the dozen. So you need to know what you're doing with your little coins and know what you're doing with it now. God and Mother Nature don't need us on their planet. We're past the zone. That means that all that pollution that we done gathered up throughout the years and said, let's get, pass it on to the next generation, well, it done passed on and passed out. Passed on and passed out, that's it. Because now is the earth turn. and she's not playing with us. There's more water than there is land. And there's more Russians coming over here by the dozen because they don't want to serve this war. And this guy is talking about doing a nuclear bomb. So this is not a time about gangs, and this ain't about getting you scared, and this ain't about loving my enemy. I'ma love you, but God loves you more. You understand? I can forgive you, but God will forgive you more when you forgive yourself and learn who he is. And God and Jesus is very, very much alive. Jesus is on the right hand. And believe me, when he comes, he's going to kick more behind than you ever seen. That's including us who think we're in the right wing of the God. You know, we have one God, and he's whatever he wants to be. And however man chooses to reveal him, white, black, Asian, I don't care what he is. But whatever he is, he will reveal himself when he comes, and we will all know. But right now, everybody is being judged. There's nobody right. All of us are sinners. Every last drop. We only saved by grace because we know the one word, Jesus. We know the word. We know what's happening. This is not by accident. He's not saying oops. But we can do some things. We can get out there and start helping these young adults know that you don't pay rent. That don't give you the right to take over my building, my apartment, nothing. I got enough senior citizens being held hostage in their own apartment because young adults are too afraid to go out here and get a job, and nobody is checking on them, and they can't eat but whatever they can. So they can survive because they're afraid of their grandchildren or their young adults who brings people in there and take over their apartment in the projects, in private homes, in those who got money. Yeah, you got somebody next door to you who's being held hostage and y'all act like, why do they take, in the first day, why is this happening? Why don't you know why it's happening? How is it that you don't know? Because everybody is about, I'm going to stay to myself. And, Lord, I'm getting abused because I called the police because I'd have asked an adult who's a predator who pulled in the young adults so they could be flunkies for that person to sell their weed. I'm the one that's blowing up the spot. I'm the one that's threatening, and I don't speak 50 million languages. But now I done told everybody, now, you had a whole 4 weeks of quiet and peace and quiet. Now you want to come out and look at me. Don't look at me because Carolyn's getting ready. Get her passport and go to Paris and enjoy herself. I can move because I'm free. I can live anywhere I want to because I am free. I am free. I'm not obligated to America. I know how to make a toilet. You can do it. Just dig a hole and squat. Everybody does it, and dogs will show you how to do it for free. You say these things, and we've been talking for years. And the main thing right now, even in jail, we could set up programs and help them learn things so they could be prepared to come out and get a job. It's not hard to do. It takes time to do it. It takes people to do it with. I know it can be done because my son and I and family and those who I begged and came up and gave him a job interview made it happen. But first it had to start with me. And I don't have no time in begging people and asking y'all to do it. The proposals are available. You can do these things. We can go and set up programs in Rikers Island and separate things and make sure the gangs know how to get on their knees and pray and give them training and, show them how to do, know how to be a family person. Show them how to detox off of that crap because every month It used to be every year they give you a new drug, but now every month they stopping millions of dollars of so all kinds of side effects that comes in here and make you psych. You think that acid was something. You thought crack was something. They got new stuff that they can't even come down. So what is the problem? What is the problem? Because there's brothers on here and sisters on here that knows the solution. So what's the problem? What is that we need to do? Because you can write your mayor and his and the new words instead of BS is called buffoonery. Either way is bullshit to me. You not out here to be safe because you still got to go back to old school. Get up early, do what you got to do, make sure you do it quickly, pay attention to your surroundings, check with your neighbors, and come back home safely because nobody's covering your ass. We did it in the old days. Why doesn't it apply today? Why aren't we spreading that word today, especially amongst our senior citizens? I am not a young woman. I'm 66 years old. I want to see 70. I don't want to create clothing that's bulletproof so I can feel safe walking through the streets of New York. We got new immigrants coming up here. Self-preservation is the first law of nature, and you know that everybody is falling apart about these new immigrants like y'all didn't see it coming 5 years ago. You didn't see homelessness up to the limit. You didn't see it. Are y'all blind? What's the matter? Everybody that, listen, everybody can't be a hooker. Somebody got to be a housewife. What do you choose to do? Because I'm already doing it. And you have my number. You know my name. You know where I'm at. And once again, like I said, every Thanksgiving, I throw my money together to give away plates. I don't ask nobody for nothing. I'm not asking for nothing. I will help you do what you need to do, but the rest is on you. It's you. You could put on a uniform. You could get some combat boots. You could start training and going to the gun training lot and learning how to shoot because you're going to have to learn how to do this. You're going to have to learn to get your cheesecloth and strain your water because you have been in a building that's more than 500 and something years old. All these buildings that we live in is not up to par, and they're not modernized. They just they remodernized the apartment. The pipes have been still the same. And so what, you in a co-op and you bought it and you feel important, you in the house. That house been there way before you, boo-boo, and you bought it from Ethel that been way before you and before them, now the basement is flooding. Ask Queens. People are flooded. You can't rain. It's like being out in New Jersey. You can't rain a little bit. You need a boathouse. These things can be their solutions, and they are doing all these things, and they know that the construction of our country is falling the hell apart. Start getting your act together and start rebuilding and making your money and being stronger in the area. And learn where to save your money and start investing in silver and gold. If you don't do nothing but buy a piece of gold and put it somewhere and save it. And make sure you know that your bank is not prejudiced. Because there's been two banks already, and that's Bank America and the one that's called Lanctus that's out in New Jersey. And new banks have spotted new areas of minorities where they don't give you the money that you need to have to buy a home. Start checking these things out. You have a doctor's degree and don't use your doctor's degree. Don't say you're a hustler and you don't know how to hustle. Y'all need to come together and stop butting heads and know that being well-rounded, you have to do both things in order to survive. You have to know the hustler, and you have to know education. Your degree don't mean crap. It's a piece of paper, and you went to school long enough to learn all their crap and spent all that money that you could have invested in yourself and made your own school and made your own degree. So I love y'all. But let's stop talking about it. Let's do it this year. And if you need a plate, Thanksgiving is going to be free, and I'm not responsible for how drunk you get. Bring your own ass. Take your butt home. I'm going to give you your drink and your food, and you just take your butt back. If you get drunk, make sure you get on the bus, and the rest is up to you. Love you all.
Well, thank you for sharing that information. And, yes, you're right, though. We do need to, you know, stop complaining about different things that we see and start doing something about it. Because when we can step up to the plate and actually get involved with doing things, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically, you know, the bottom line, you know, is that those things that we can actually do, we need to start taking action and do it.
Yeah.
And even, you know, ourselves right now, what we're in the process of doing, we're in the process of starting our prayer and meditation group. And that was the prayer and meditation group that we started, you know, back in 2009. And when we dealt with that, we were able to end the gang wars for 2010. And that was very powerful, and I'm very thankful that, you know, Jesus even shared with us the spiritual formula on what to do with the prayer and meditation to end the gang war. So I was very glad to see that. But the bottom line is that we need to utilize that again, and that's what we're in the process of utilizing so that we could actually see some great and positive results that could come about this. And for those folks that do have money, that are millionaires, billionaires, or even if they're making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, we need to come together and see what we can do with that as well. Like you said, whether we're investing in, you know, gold or silver or diamonds, or whether we're investing into real estate and other different, you know, investment sources that we could use to actually turn over and make some serious money over a short period of time. These are things that we need to do and to take advantage of, because once we start to do that and come together collectively, that's when we can start building, utilizing the profit that we're going to make. We can start building schools. We can start building community centers. We can start building homeless shelters. We can start doing training programs. We can start building holistic health centers. There's a lot of different things we could do to help our community. But the bottom line, the main reason on why we're not doing this is two things. One, finances. Not knowing that, you know, we have to come together financially in unity to really help our people. Two is to really get past all this self-hatred that we have towards one another, arguing and fussing and fighting, and, you know, really, if not trying to destroy each other's lives physically, stop trying to destroy each other's lives verbally as well. We need to really come together in harmony, not come together so that we could be at each other's throats and to curse each other out and to physically try to hurt each other. That's not what we're coming together for. We're coming together in harmony to say, hey, my brother, we need to see what we can do together to help ourselves and help our people. My sister, we need to see what we could do to help ourselves and help our people. And not just say that out the side of our mouth when we're really saying, well, I don't want to help these niggas. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about finding people that honestly want to come forth and help our people. And those are the ones that you start off with. Because, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get everybody. Some people are really stuck in actually feeling all this self-hatred and negativity towards one another, and it's very difficult to pull them out, especially when they don't want to come out. But for those people that are saying, hey, my mind and heart is open for it, open my people, I have no problem with doing that. Matter of fact, I'll be glad to, you know, see what I can do, whether it's financially, whether it's, you know, physically to do a march or protest, whether it's to come together spiritually and see what we can do to also deal with this. And that's another thing, too. You know, many times we don't even deal with the spiritual side of things, and one of the main reasons is because we don't even see that as a possibility of us having any ability to use our spirituality to actually bring about positive change. But we do have that ability, and that's something that we need to awaken to. Because once we start to utilize our spiritual power, that can be a very powerful thing. Because when these kids were stuck into wanting to kill each other and didn't want to leave the gangs, and we, you know, gave many lectures to them and spoke to them many times, and they said, oh, heck no, man, I don't want to hear you guys talking to me about this crap, man. I'm staying in these gangs. And they were just stuck in there mentally. You know, Satan had seized their minds and told them, like, listen, kill one another, just try to make some money, make that your main goal, and don't even worry about whether you're destroying your community or destroying families or anything like that. Just try to focus on making money, and you're going to be a little gangster that's going to do the best he can to make money. And if you have to kill 10 or 20 kids in the process of doing that, so what? The bottom line is you should have some nice money with you then. And when kids were stuck into that kind of mentality, it was hard to pull them out because that was their thing. They wanted to be little monsters that were going to, you know, just make money. And even if they destroyed their community, so what? But the bottom line was when Jesus came and shared that with us to tell us that, hey, here's the spiritual formula you can utilize that can really bring about the ending of these kids thinking in that satanic mindset, just wanting to kill and destroy each other and not even caring about whether they're destroying their community or destroying families. They're not just killing that individual. They're killing, you know, your, you know, families behind that. You're also killing your community behind that. So anyway, that was a great, great opportunity when Jesus actually showed us what we can do to actually turn these people's minds around. And like I said before, I did not know at all that you had the ability to turn people's minds around, especially when they don't want to be turned around. Because there was always, you know, something that was taught in the church that said, hey, if you want to come out from being a druggie, or if you want to come out from dealing with these gangs or prostitution or whatever you caught up into that's negative, then, you know, nobody's going to put a gun to your head and make you do it. You just have to make up your mind that you want to do it on your own. And if you're willing to do that, then that's great. But don't be looking for nobody to put no gun to your head and making you do it. And that was the thing. You know, I never knew that, you know, if, even if a person didn't want to change their mind and they were stuck into doing these negative things, that you could change their mind anyway. And I'm not talking about putting a gun to their head. I'm talking about seeing one of the most powerful forces in the universe change their mind, which was the spiritual power of God's divine love going into their minds and hearts and cleansing their mind and heart of all that negativity. So these are things that came about, and I was, like, really glad that, you know, you know, this was shared with us by Jesus, and you know, being able to get the results that, you know, came from what he was saying. But he said, if we utilize this, you'll be able to end the gang war. And I was like, wow, I almost fell out of my chair when that was said, you know. So I said, okay, great, you know, we're definitely gonna try this and see what we could do. And when we did it, it was a mind blow. But I mean, like I said, those guys, you know, we were trying to go over and over and over again with lectures with them and trying to, you know, tell them that this is something you're doing and you're destroying our community, you're destroying families. You know, you guys need to stop all of this. And they were like, get out of here, man. I ain't listening to y'all. And that was true. It just was going into one ear and it was coming out the other. It was not staying in their mind. It changed their mind. But when Jesus gave us that, he gave us a spiritual formula that was a mind-blowing, a mind-changing situation. And like I said, it blew my mind because I was like, wow, this thing worked and this thing was surreal. And Jesus wasn't talking out the side of his mouth. He was telling the God's honest truth, and I'm glad we got the results to do that because we saved hundreds of kids' lives by ending the gang war. Because each year we would have had a bunch of kids being killed And the bottom line was, when each year goes by for 10 or 12 years and you don't have none of these kids in the schools being killed, that is wonderful. That's great. That means that potential of what could have happened did not happen on the negative side. But what did happen was on the positive side, and the gang war was over, and these kids had a great opportunity to come out of that terrible demonic mindset and try to do something positive with their life. But what the other side of where the problem is, you need to have a financial situation so that you could put your own schools up. You can put community centers up. You could put up situations where you could even have holistic health centers that could go up, and entrepreneurial centers, which can teach people how to start their own businesses and do things that can really turn their lives around financially. So that's a big part of the situation when you find yourself in a situation where you have people that really want to improve their lives financially, and the reason why they're caught up is because the only opportunity they see is the opportunity that is being taught to them off of the street. And once they're learning off of the streets, they're being learned how to get involved with selling drugs and, you know, stealing from people and all kind of crazy things that, you know, could put them in jail or could put them in an early grave. But that's the thing. That's where we as adults need to step up to the plate and see what we can do to give our youth a positive opportunity, not the opportunity that's out on the street that will destroy their lives, but a positive opportunity that can really save their lives and give them an opportunity to have a prosperous positivity, and also not only just prosperity, but to live a positive lifestyle and an honest lifestyle. You know, all of these things need to be a part of what we can offer them. But the big problem is, when we don't do nothing like that, that's when we're stuck in a situation where the gang wars are going to start up again, because the only option that they have to learn from is the option that's out there on the street that's going to teach them to do all of these negative things. So all I can say at this point, I'm really glad to see that we at this time are getting, you know, our, you know, prayer and meditation program back up again, because we're going to come together and focus once again on the formula that Jesus gave us and end the gang wars again, but also even utilize that formula to stop the murdering of racist white police officers and many other negative problems that are affecting our community. But the thing about it is, I know some people are saying, what? You're going to have the ability to do stuff like that? Get out of here, you know. But that's only because we've been brainwashed to believe that we don't have the opportunity. But like I said, I've already lived the fact that it was effective and it can be effective again. But we just have to have the faith in God and Christ to know that we can make it happen. And once we start to focus on it from that perspective, we're going to start to see some great, awesome, and amazing things come about. And I just want to say to each and every one of you, God bless you. Peace and blessings to each and every one of you. And thank you all for coming on the show. Peace and blessings to you.
Talking. Houston.